You're listening to Star Wars Hangout.
The best Star Wars Hangout in the galaxy. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I am Lati.
And friends, we are back with Season 1, Episode 6, Far, Far Away? Is that what it was called?
That was Far, Far Away.
It was definitely far, far away. We were Jonah in the whale, traveling. Master Hu Yang was giving us advice like I've never heard before. I loved it. Full spoilers. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And I just want to say, out the gate, to my former self, me, years and years and years ago, that I remember just being a little boy thinking about this galaxy, far, far away, and all the stories and the tales and all those different things. And Master Hu Yang is here, like, telling the stories. They're all talking about being kids back when they were raised at the Jedi Temple, the ancient stories, all that stuff. It just felt so good. That's all I know how to say, is it felt so freaking good. And I just have had such good feels with this entire Dagon series. So
And we see two big characters appear in this episode.
Huge. Huge characters. So before we get into that, I just had to say all that to start us off. I want to know quickly before Lottie dozes off. She is staying up way past her bedtime. And I tried to get her to go to sleep, but she is dedicated. What'd you think? What'd you think?
I think it was awesome.
You really liked it?
Yes, absolutely liked it.
What did you not understand?
I understood most of it. I just didn't think we were going to get both. And we're in spoilers. So
go ahead and say their names. Drop the names.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah.
As Mon Mothma would say.
Mm-hmm, Thrawn. Mm-hmm. Thrawn. It's Thrawn.
Yeah. And Ezra.
Yeah.
Both of them. We find them in this episode.
Right, right.
And I didn't think halfway through this episode we were going to find Ezra in this episode, too.
Me neither.
So I was surprised how fast it went.
Yeah, how fast it went. But here's the other thing. I think the pacing of this whole show for some people has been, like, there's moments where it's super fast-paced and it feels really awesome. There's moments where characters just slowly walk across to the edge of some precipice and they speak about things and they tell moments, right, where Baylan Skull is talking about his past.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that really was. And I think all my theories about Baylan were wrong. He probably is just a Jedi survivor, and it looks like he was very young. I kind of forget when you go back in time, like, how many years ago that was and how young he would have been during the Clone Wars. So we got all that backstory, and it was great. But I just I am impressed, flat out, just absolutely blown away. It's not like a monumental, crazy, jam-packed episode, but it's all hinging upon Sabine and her decision. Did she make the right choice? It starts off with that conversation inside the mouth of a whale, a space whale, going to another galaxy. We've got Ahsoka and Hu Yang talking about whether or not she made the right choice. And Ahsoka using the Force to see what happened to the map, and says that, you know, she went with them willingly. And that's troubling for her. She's not so sure that she made the right decision. She thinks she could have ended this whole thing, right? So, and she told her that she wanted her to end it. She believes Thrawn is going to return, and there's going to be war. And he looks like he's planning on that. They look rough, by the way. His whole battalion, wowzers.
Yeah.
She says something interesting, though. She says that she was fated to make this choice, and there wasn't enough time to prepare her to make the right one. To which Hu Yang says, the Force does give you those insights, but it does not give you
everything,
all the answers.
Yes, all the answers, yeah.
Right? So perhaps for Sabine, it was the only choice.
Yes.
You know?
Man.
Crazy. Crazy to think about that.
And Hu Yang is the one, like you said, he is the one who knows all these, he has all these stories in his archive, which makes me think, are there those stories too that Baylan talks about, you know, that make him for some reason, Balin is there
mm-hmm.
for something else than Morgan and Thrawn. They just want to get out of there. They want to get back to where they came from.
Right.
Balin seems to be searching for something here.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and we could talk about what that is for sure, because he is, like he's recalling these stories, like Ahsoka's asking for a story here, and they're this big callback mm-hmm. to this galaxy far, far away from a galaxy far, far away. And so it's interesting what these Dathomiri witches and the Great Mothers and all that and what they have to offer in this power. But I thought that, you know, when he kind of says to Ahsoka, and I think it's really interesting that, well, I guess she says that she thinks that Sabine made the right choice, that she made this choice for her.
Yeah.
And he says to Ahsoka, that's your fear. That's right. Your fear. And instantly she perks up and says, you know what, on second thought, tell me one of your stories. Mm-hmm. Because I need to learn. I need to rethink this. Yeah. I've just had this experience with my master where he questioned whether I even wanted a Padawan. And is it worth, you know, teaching is not all it's chalked up to be, right? And sort of like, be careful. And, you know, Lottie's sitting over there going like, no, seriously, I'm just kidding. Like, teaching, I don't know, right? But... yeah, I mean, I think it was such a really good setup, because the whole thing is about her choice.
Right.
And Ezra says, right, that he wants her, he's counting on her. Mm-hmm. Then Ahsoka is counting on her. And it's this, you're torn between which way to go, which decision is right. She says she was fated to make this choice.
Yeah.
And you go back all the way to Qui-Gon Jinn and the choice of the Jedi Council to not allow him mm-hmm. to train Anakin Skywalker, the duel of fates, mm-hmm. and that determining everything and that this point that can't really be altered.
Right.
That when Qui-Gon dies, Anakin now has, you know, no father figure and is more mm-hmm. trained by a brother and all these different, you know, things. So I just think it's one of those moments where the choices that we think are right maybe aren't. And we should question some of those things, and we should listen to other perspectives, and we should look at things from, you often say this, which is to look at things from other people's perspective and what's going on with them, and is that good for them?
Yeah.
Is there something more to this? Does the galaxy need Ezra Bridger so much so that maybe it's worth bringing Thrawn back? Possibly.
Wow. Yes.
You know, like, is there something beyond that that no one can see that the Force is guiding these things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because he says the Force gives you insight, but not to all the answers, not to everything.
Yeah. And Balin said something interesting, too. He talks about the repetition. We see
rise and fall,
the, you know, almost like over time, there is kind of a balance, because there is rise and fall
mm-hmm.
of the Jedi, the Republic.
The Empire, Palpatine. Yeah.
Yes. And he wants to end this cycle. Now, what is his ultimate goal? To end the cycle of that? I mean, if we look at our own world, we talk about how is it possible that there's wars again and again and again, even though we should learn from it, right?
Yeah.
But it's a cycle that you almost feel like it repeats itself. And Balin, I think he does have a noble cause somehow.
Yeah, from his own point of view.
Perspective, yes.
Yeah, exactly. He actually says here that, like you're saying, that as he has gotten older, literally with age and watching all these things happen, he has seen the ebb and flow. He's seen the rise and fall and the rise again and then the fall. And so what does that mean and look like to him? He wants something to kind of break that cycle. Now, that is... could that be a good thing, right? To maybe get people to finally have... But he's talking about in terms of power.
Yeah.
Some power that's going to bring about a new beginning.
Yeah.
And you start to figure out like, okay, it's a little bit... Yeah, he's almost grown tired and just sort of like... he's lost his hope and inspiration for... Because when she asked him, do you ever miss the Jedi? Like the Order, do you ever miss the Order? And he's sort of like... There is something about it that he did kind of miss, but then...
The idea of it,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then from there, it's sort of like, but truth came, comes to him. And what he saw was the actual downfall of that order brought about by the Sith. And so it's sort of like, yeah, I love that idea, but it's not working out. So he's such an interesting character.
He is.
Very, very, very interesting. But he's seeking this... greater power, a new beginning, and he's seeking it through the Dathomiri witches. They call this place a graveyard, right? Yeah. It's like, were these space whales have come to die, right, or are they just killing them? I don't really know what's
It sounded like they there. Come here to die, for almost like their last journey, you know,
yeah,
that they make. That's the...
Like, maybe it takes everything out of them. This is the final, yeah, like their final, I don't know. Yeah. Like, we saw a bunch of their, remnants of, yeah, of space, yeah, whales, like, floating out there beyond, like, this, mm-hmm, this planet. So I don't know what there's truth to that, because Thrawn says destroy any space whale that comes, right, into the system.
Right.
So, that's rough. Maybe he's been doing that or something, you know?
Who knows?
Because,
yeah,
they didn't come in on a space whale. They came in on their hyperspace, right, ring, and Morgan Elsbeth was hearing this call from her sisters, her mothers, whatever, the great mothers.
Right.
And I knew it because on a few episodes back, I said, like, there's no, how is Thrawn speaking to her? Thrawn's, yeah, not speaking to,
no,
her. Thrawn was speaking to them, asking for them to kind of do something on his behalf. Yes.
Were they ever part of any books? Like, have you heard of those?
The Dathomir Witches?
Yeah,
yes.
Before? Okay.
Yes. So this is interesting. It's in, it's actually in the Clone Wars. And I think, mm-hmm, after this, when Lottie and I have been kind of thinking about what are we going to do moving forward, I want to run her back through all of Clone Wars. Clone Wars is about Ahsoka. I mean, it's about the Clone Wars, but in large part, it is Ahsoka's story. It is, yeah, Anakin getting his Padawan and him sort of rising to the rank of Jedi Knight and, mm-hmm, fighting in the Clone Wars. And so during that time, though, we have this other arc with Darth Maul as well.
Right.
And we know that, like, the Ahsoka Maul fight,
yeah,
is what this all kind of culminates in. And he is from, he's Dathomiri as well. So,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. I think you mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Now it rings a bell. Yes.
Right. And so he also, the Mother Talzin is someone who, he has connections to her. And then you'll see even in Rebels, Sabine goes there. This is something that Master Andrew had sent us, like a transmission about, where, you know, what are all these different connections and, yeah, how they're connected to Sabine, and how Sabine was, yeah, once possessed by the, spirits of the Night Sisters that had fallen. They were also, their enemy is the Jedi. Like, they did,
yeah,
fight against
the Jedi.
So there was a lot of really interesting.
They
things.
Wanted to get rid of Sabine instantly, but, mm-hmm, interestingly, they didn't recognize Baylan and Chin.
Right. No, they don't. They
as
don't.
Jedi.
Well, and he says, you know, because they were talking about really interesting who Ezra Bridger is, mm-hmm, and how he was too young for Baylan to have known him,
yeah,
and he was trained by, you know, Jedi who had, right, left the Order, and he had a name for them, and I'm struggling to find it. I'll have to go look for what he actually called them.
Something
but,
with a B, I remember.
Yeah, it was really, really cool, and it was just the idea that he trained Shin to be more,
yeah,
than a Jedi. Like, mm-hmm, that's not what he really wanted for her. So,
yeah,
actually, right here I have it. Yeah, Bridger. No, he's too young, and then he kind of he comes from a breed of Boken Jedi.
Mm.
Yeah, trained in the wild after the temple fell.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, wow, okay, what is that? What? It's just cool that they have that, yeah, term for these other Jedi that were, yeah, trained in the wild. And they're really not trained under what you would call, like, the classic, I guess, from even, like, classic Jedi Masters. It's all kind of,
yeah,
it's a gray area, sort of. But, yeah, really, really cool. So,
yep.
And she still looks to him like, that's her master. What is he seeking? She's like,
yes,
should we leave here, right? Should we, mm-hmm, leave this place? They all seem to be wanting to get out of here. And he's like, no, I trained you for something more. This is the power that we're seeking. There's something here that calls to him.
Right.
He asked her, you know, if she can see it. Can she hear it? What is this?
Yeah.
Why is there a power here speaking to him?
Yeah.
Not speaking to these Dathomiri witches?
Right.
It's witchcraft.
Is it somehow connected to Ezra? Is he actually unknowingly seeking Ezra, or something that connects Ezra? You know, like the whole connection to,
yeah,
his connection to beings and the Force is different. It's when we see him with the Loth wolves, and how he was able to enter this world between worlds.
Right, right, right.
Maybe that's somehow connected to that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for sure. He definitely specifically mentions, like, the Great Witch Kingdom of Dathomiri.
Mm.
And so he's looking around at the remnants and all their different stone carvings,
mm-hmm,
and this power, this well, this reserve,
yeah,
of energy or something that he might be tapping into.
Okay.
But you're right. No, it could also be, though, connected to Ezra. And I think even maybe Ezra will have an understanding of this and can...
Yeah, he's lived there for how many years now?
Right. It's, and he's very in tune with the Force and is just...
And the surroundings.
Yeah, yeah, guided by it in a way that is, I think really unique. And and I kind of hope he has a confrontation with Baylan and is able to warn him.
Yeah.
This is not... Whatever this power is that you're seeking, it will destroy you. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel bad because I think that Baylan is looking for something that is... That would create a new beginning, break the cycle. He's he's not in alignment with Morgannel's Beth or Thrawn. They're not in alignment with him. So you have all these different agendas, all these different things that are kind of going on. And Ahsoka's talking about fate. Sabine's talking about like doing what's right for Ezra.
Right.
Baylan wants to start up something new in this new beginning. Shin is questioning all of it. Thrawn is calculating everything and is making his return. It is just... It's jam-packed with, like, all the things that I thought we would get in, in other Star Wars shows.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we would really explore things. Like, I really thought, like, even in the sequels, that we would get into the lore of Star Wars more, that we would get into some of the mystical things, or that we would go in a direction that would really just take us, I don't know, like to something new and unique. And I really feel like that's something that Dave Filoni has done here. It's just everything is, he took us to a whole another freaking galaxy. People thought back when the Rebels episode dropped with the Purrgil, I forget which season it was, but people looked at it and they thought, filler episode, freaking space whales, what, this is dumb, you know what I mean? And then it's like, no, those space whales actually end up being the thing that, like, take Thrawn off the chessboard, and they're the thing that the vehicle which Ahsoka uses to get to this galaxy to try and go help Sabine and Ezra.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's also interesting too when you go back and look at Ahsoka's, her thought process is that, like, we have to destroy the compass because that will prevent them from getting to this galaxy. And it's like, hold on a second, you're getting there without the compass. Baylan could maybe have figured that out. Someone else could have figured that out eventually. Maybe even likely that Thrawn himself, if he can capture Ezra, could use the Purrgil when they come into that destination to take a trip back, unless they really are coming there to die, you know. But he hasn't been able, it seems like, to get his hands on Ezra. It feels like Ezra's been able to evade him and move around. So,
right. Why has Ezra never asked a space whale to go back?
It
seems like, like you said, maybe they die there.
Maybe Thrawn's killing them. Maybe he's waiting for a migration when he can go, because he doesn't want Ezra to leave without him, you know, right? Or he's trying to acquire Ezra and force him to bring those whales and him back to the galaxy.
Right.
And they've just been banished. They've just been trapped there. I mean, Ezra banishes Thrawn there, essentially. Yeah. When they talk about his banishment, that was done by Ezra Bridger, which is nuts. I mean, it just has all the different things that Star Wars is known for. It's got creatures. There's cool space vehicles. There's now magic going on, which there was kind of magic in Star Wars. If you go back to like the days of the Ewoks, when they had their own little village and Logray was doing his thing. So it just has all those elements. Mm-hmm. And it is wild. It's such interesting characters. There's no Sith in this. There's no true Jedi necessarily. I mean, Ahsoka.
Yeah, it's kind of a gray area.
Yeah, all of it's the in-between and them kind of figuring out where they want to go and which end are they going to line up on. We don't really know. But it's fascinating. Now, yes, I see that hand.
Oh, I just wanted to know what you thought, both first time we see Thrawn and then first time you see Ezra in this episode. What were you thinking?
I was stunned to silence. I really was. I was stunned to say his voice, Thrawn's voice. Well, I think I said when I saw Thrawn, like, wow.
Yeah,
wow,
you did.
Wow. Wow. Because he shows up in his ship. All of the different troopers. You've got the lead trooper there is Enoch.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
What is up with Enoch? Like, Enoch, is that another character that everyone's going to speculate? Who is he really? Okay. I have no real education on like Bible studies and stuff, but isn't like Ezra and Enoch both names from the Bible?
Yes, they are.
And I don't know how they are connected, but it just immediately made me think of Ezra and why did they give him the name Enoch and who is he? He talks to the Sabine, I mean, pretty like friendly, I want to say, but then he says something like, yeah, die well.
Right.
Is that another character everyone's going to speculate about? Or is it just no one?
Totally. I think they totally are. And I think you're actually... so a lot of these characters are named for they're named after whether it be some mythological character or some biblical character, whatever. Like there's something, there's some connection there. But yeah, Enoch, that's an interesting one. I could, because he's the leader. He's got this face that's really strange, and he seems to be in command.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. So yeah, there are connections between Ezra and Enoch.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like in the Bible, and there's just the roles that they played, and and so
interesting.
I don't know, we'll have to see.
He just I feel like very curious. Yeah,
me too. I feel like he might be somebody that we speculate about for sure. So I mean, I'm already like, I'm crazy me's already thinking Ezra Bridger clone. I know
that's why I'm saying the Ezra connection somehow, when you, because you were first, when we first started this season, you were saying something like, maybe Sabine finds Ezra, but he's not what she thought he would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
something like that. I don't know.
yeah.
But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. So he's a character. In the Bible, he's said to have not seen death. He was said to have lived for 300 plus years, and he was also said to be called up into heaven by God, and he never did experience death. So, and it's weird because he looks like a death trooper. He looks like one of these guys who, not an actual death trooper, but these guys look like they've seen death and gone there and back again. Their armor's all patched up. They're depleted in their resources, and he just the fact that he's named after a biblical character, possibly, and there's Ezra as well. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm starting to see all sorts of shadows here. So, and I think of Heir to the Empire, and I think of what Thrawn did with cloning technology in that series. You and I haven't got there yet, but he definitely is working with the Jedi Master, who's enhancing his forces, and he uses clone technology. And I don't expect Dave Filoni to pull in everything from the Heir to the Empire series, but I think knowing Thrawn's character and who he is and what he might try to do, and also the fact that Ezra Bridger oftentimes was undercover in wearing different helmets.
Right.
If you look in Rebels, he was always dressed up as some stormtrooper or scout trooper or whatever it was. So he could be there. There's some sort of, it's almost like this idea of Ezra Bridger might have to battle himself in Enoch or something, which is exactly what Luke does in the Thrawn series. Luke fights himself, Luke. And I'm not going to let that go. I'm just going to sit here and hold on to crazy theories until they become true or proven not true. And actually, I was explaining to the guys on Hoth Hangout that I'm a person who, I can theorize and speculate about different things, and when they don't come true, I'm not like hurt by it or whatever. No. I'm not so caught up in it.
Fun,
that I'm not sitting there saying like, this has to happen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. No, if it doesn't happen, I'm totally cool with it. I don't expect those things to happen. I like to pitch a lot of far-fetched theories. And my phone is blowing up right now because people just watched the episode and we're getting some messages already. But yeah, it was awesome. This whole episode was really cool. You've got Sabine out doing her thing. She seems to be connecting more with like this Tota, the howler, and she's got a good connection with this, almost like what we would call in Legends, like animal friendship or force. That's this force ability with animals, you know.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Ezra kind of has that as well.
I feel like she knows she has to connect to Ezra. She has to connect to this being.
Yeah.
And interesting though that when Baylan visits her in her little cell, something like, oh, good time to reflect, you know, you're just in there by yourself. And she's like, no, I try to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I can see why. Again, I think a hint to her past. And
right.
She doesn't want to reflect. She will have to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is. And like Ezra's already asking her about all these different things.
And she Something. Doesn't want to say, yeah.
No. She waited on Lothal. She didn't know what to do. Yeah. She, like, why couldn't Ezra give her more information? He says, like, I didn't know either. You know, I was just counting on you to come find me. Yeah. And she did. But then there's also this, like, she lost her family. She was trained by Ahsoka. That didn't work out. Maybe Ahsoka kept her from going to Mandalore and being of aid. So reflecting on that decision hurts. To think back and say, wow, what if I would have done something? You know, did I run? Did I listen to my master when I shouldn't have? Right. See, did listening to Ahsoka the first time cost her her family? And so then this time she's saying, I'm not listening to Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. I'm going to follow through on people who are counting on me, my family. I'm going to be there for them. I feel like that's what's up. I feel like that's for sure what she was thinking about and reflecting. And that's going to be a rift that has to be healed between them. And Ezra can be a part of that healing process. But the fact that he's there and the fact that they have these creatures, the Noki or Nokai or whatever they're called, and Ezra can speak their language is unbelievable. That's awesome. That's classic Star Wars characters that, because I thought if they start speaking basic, like actual language that we can understand, I'm gonna scratch my head and go, are we, you know, I just love when you have a new species or whatever of
yeah, and their culture and understand, like that's what Star Wars, so many times they teach that. Understand different cultures. That's actually what it's about, like to, you know, to succeed, to maybe even prevent wars, is to understand each other. And that's what the Mandalorian,
for sure,
Din Djarin does with the, I forget what they're named. He tries to understand them because he met one himself. What do they say? They always say, I have spoken.
Oh, the Ugnaughts.
Yes.
Yeah, the Ugnaughts, for
it's
sure.
Just the idea of, okay, we might be different, but to communicate successfully and to help each other out, we need to try and understand each other.
Yeah,
and
that bridges a gap that is, well, that's real. It's a real thing that we deal with in our day, in our, like, our own reality here on planet Earth. and so for them to experience that in a galaxy is cool.
Yeah.
It's neat. It's just like some of the droids can, like, they're not all protocol droids that can speak like C-3PO. Some of them communicate differently. Chopper communicates differently, which is funny. And yeah, so it just feels more real. You feel like a more, like you're immersed in a galaxy far, far away.
Yes, and like you said, they slow down sometimes. They take their time. Sabine walking into that camp and seeing these families and even like little babies of their species, and then
you take these long moments where we're just walking around. I know for some people that's like not fun, they don't like it, but then you have a whole episode where Anakin and Ahsoka are fighting and there's some lesson being taught, or there's a space battle with Shin Hati.
Yeah,
and I mean it's cool, like this is, you need these moments. You need it to kind of slow down and sink in and just spend actual time on screen with these characters and know really, you know, who they are, what they're feeling, see their emotions, see them kind of, well, I mean, it's the same thing we would do walking through this village of these little stone-like creatures trying to figure them out and like look around and we don't know where Ezra's at. Is he here? They said he was here. We're looking around and it just feels kind of like, when's he going to pop out? And he's just sort of watching her from the shadows. And then
I was so waiting. I was anticipating that moment.
Yeah.
Is he going to be there? Is he not? Is he going to be, are we going to see him this episode or not?
Right. And they didn't make it anything like super grandiose or anything. It was very just plain and simple. It feels natural. It's not like he was in this epic moment where he summoned his lightsaber and he saved her and jumped out. Like he could have done that. He could have had Ezra jump out and save her from those bandits and those raiders or whatever. But no, instead she continues on and she like perseveres, doesn't give up, doesn't quit, and connects with him and connects with her ride, her mount, and he leads her and he sniffs his way along and finds these guys. But yeah, it's also really cool and realistic that I thought, okay, how do they not find this encampment? Because I was like, I'm always kind of like, there is that critical lens that Star Wars fans sometimes have. And he immediately answers, which is just like, hey, we got to pack up, right? He speaks to them and says, time to go, time to pack up, and off we go. Which is cool. It makes sense. Like he's keeping them on the move and they may not know that he's even with them.
Right.
And it seems like it's...
And they can hide. I mean, they have these shells that look like rocks.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even though you feel like, I mean, Thrawn is someone who tries to understand the world around him, the culture around him, right? Mm-hmm. If he really seeks to find Ezra,
yeah,
I think he would have found a way, right?
Yeah, but again, he's dealing with, for sure, I mean, Thrawn is very smart and has, but his resources are depleted. Like when Morgan says, hey, shouldn't you send more troops? And then he's like, I can't. Yeah. We have
to. It's not the priority right now.
No, we have to survive until an opportunity hits, and then we can, you know, kind of move.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, Ezra looks great though. Like it's just his, all of his stuff. He's sort of made his own robe. He's got his own thing going on, belts that he's made, everything that just, whatever he could find, he kind of scrapped together. Just looks epic.
Yeah.
He looks really, really cool.
Like a survivor in the wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. And then he even mentions the Howler. Like it's interesting that the Howler kind of bonded with Sabine.
Mm-hmm.
He throws that out there. And so it's like, well, there's definitely something special going on between her and that Howler. And that's what kind of helped her get here. So it's little tiny things. There's nothing major with Sabine. There's nothing like she doesn't, when she puts her hand out every time to use the Force, it doesn't happen.
Nope.
It's not working. And that's okay. She's not going to be able to probably use it in that way unless she's really emotionally charged or there's something really desperate on the line, and her life or Ezra's life is on the line, and she then has to summon that Force, and she probably won't use her hand. She probably won't do those different things. It'll just come in a way that we don't expect.
Right, and she might not learn how to use it ever, but maybe to understand it and to feel it more. You know, like Ahsoka said, feel intention that you can't see.
Yeah, for sure.
That's something...
Yeah, for sure.
And it's actually super interesting. I always thought everyone loves the idea of the Force, but you know, when you learn something about quantum mechanics, physics, that's kind of the idea of it, right? Is
Yeah, for sure.
It's so interesting. I don't want to talk about this right now, but
Lottie's been studying quantum mechanics, and she's been looking into
it. I thought it was really, really... Yeah, neat and interesting, and lots to think about. But one thing I want to say before I think we wrap it up here is I'm excited to see hopefully Ezra and Shin interact in the future, and want to see what kind of impact Ezra has on Shin.
They
talked about she's like me, and it's actually the scene that we see right here,
right,
in
right
the background. He says it's Ezra's too young for him to have known him, and where he was trained and everything. And she's like, oh, like me, and where he says no, but yeah, they are about the same age probably. Or
she's excited.
She's a little bit younger.
Yeah,
but she definitely wants to meet him. I think.
She's excited because she feels like it's someone else, like that she could be, because it's just her and her master, and that's everything, right? And then she sees these witches, and she's like, I'm not so sure. That seems scary and darker than where I want to go or what I want to be. And she wears the Padawan braid. She kind of likes the idea, I think. And there's a lot of times where you look at her, and I talked to Cameron about this. The way she looks at her master is very interesting. She has an innocent. I don't know, even naive sort of vibe to her or whatever. And I think it would be really cool for her to see Ezra and to see how a Jedi can be.
Yeah.
And to understand what, because she already made a connection to him.
Yeah.
Right? Like Ahsoka is more a part of that order that fell, that let her master down. That order that Ahsoka comes from, that line has let her master down, and she's out, I feel like, on that. So Ahsoka doesn't inspire her, and then Sabine is trained by her. No, I don't think so. But Ezra's different.
Yep.
He was trained like me in the wild. He's wild like me, and so I mean, really, you can see her like perk up at that. And I think that's a clue that she'll be really intrigued by who he is. And it's subtle, and the breadcrumbs are all there. And that's what I love with the writing on this is really good. Every line in the beginning between Hu Yang and Ahsoka mattered. Big deal. Yeah. Yep. Big deal. Everything between Anakin and Ahsoka in the previous episode mattered, and it took several watch-throughs to really understand the lesson that he was teaching and understand that he's actually Anakin, who is like the full version of Anakin coming to her in her mind, and it was actually real because Jacen Syndulla heard the lightsabers crashing.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
I forgot about that. Yes.
That's huge, because that says to, oh, it didn't just happen in her mind. No, he heard it through the Force.
Yes.
That was actually happening. She was really visited by her master, and her master helped her fight and stay alive. and continue on, and then was able to also help her heal a little bit and overcome some of the things that she had been dealing with.
Yeah.
Things that had hindered her, I think, in her fight with Balin, that Balin had tapped into. So we see her learning and evolving, and then she's also learning from the stories of Hu Yang, and she's trying to understand her Padawan and her shortcomings, and what does she need.
Yeah.
So it's such a cool story. It is a story about master and apprentice, and we have both sides of that coin with Balin and Shin and Ahsoka and Sabine. And it's such a good story. And I just want to say, there's so many awesome, like, prominent female characters in this. It's a diverse cast, and it feels so good to reward that with, like, these awesome stories. You know, it's such a great story.
Yes.
And to have characters like Ahsoka that super, super matter in Star Wars, that are a big deal. Not other characters don't matter, but, like, she is central to the whole thing, to the Skywalker saga. And then
she connects the Star Wars and the old Star Wars.
She does.
Yeah.
She absolutely does. And she connects the prequels to the Clone Wars and to all the animated TV series and Rebels, and then now to live action TV shows. And then we're going to connect that to a major movie. And they brought back in Thrawn, the Legends character, as well. So it is just so well done. It is just truly, truly, truly so well done.
Great story. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just so impressed. I mean, I struggled even whether we were going to record this episode, because I was sort of like, it's getting late. You know, maybe we should just go to bed. We've got parent-teacher conferences and these different things. But and that wasn't really the reason why I was struggling, because I'm sort of like, what do you say other than it's awesome? I mean, I don't want people to think that I don't, like, we just watch it once. We don't watch it more than that. We just kind of have it running in the background while we're recording. But it is so good that I'm sometimes just stunned. I'm just sitting here like, wow. Wow, and you know, tomorrow I'll come home and I'll watch it again.
I know, I can't wait.
Right, we'll make our salads. I'll rewatch it. I'll start writing down quotes and lines and start to kind of piece it all together and connect it with previous episodes and say, where are we going from here? And all of that. It's so good, you guys. I hope you guys are enjoying it. And I really would love to. I do have some transmissions from Andrew and from Arna. And oh my gosh, there's a couple more in the other DMs. And I'm going to see if they're still relevant to this episode or if there's any threads that they've mentioned. Because like I said, Andrew brought up some points that were relevant here to the Night Sisters and stuff. So I would still like to honor the fact that you guys sent those transmissions and mention them and give you guys shout outs here on the show, because I can't thank you enough for doing that. I really do want to hear what folks have to say about these episodes, and I want to feature you guys on here.
Yeah.
So I might be having Cameron or someone on later. We kind of have a busy week. We've got parent teacher conferences. Up Talking Tolkien's going crazy. Lane and I are out there hitting the night breeze. So that's been happening. So some podcast updates here at the end of the episode, but we're hoping to maybe get some sort of follow up this weekend, maybe. I don't know if there was anybody who would be interested, any of our patrons or Jedi Masters who would want to come on StreamYard and just chat with me, and you guys want to, like, drop an episode in there. I've got Saturday free. I'll just throw that out there. And so anytime Saturday afternoon, Lottie's looking at me like, is it free? Are you double booking yourself? Because, but it is technically. So until something else comes up. No, I'm kidding. But no, I would like to. It's public. Said it now. It's on the record unless I edit it out later. Nope, not editing out. It's staying in. And if you guys want to, let me know, because I would love to have folks on. And maybe Cameron can be on there and you guys would feel comfortable just popping in and out and sharing your thoughts or something. Yeah. So, because I'd just love to hear people's actual thoughts and get their voices on the show, because I think that would be fun. So let me know, anybody, DM me if you want to be on the show. And even if you haven't reached out before, you're just a listener who's never reached out and you're like, you know what, as he sent the call out. So I'm going to answer. You know what? I'll pull an Ezra. I'm counting on you guys. Okay. For what? You know what? Okay. Yes, I see that hand. Go ahead.
Oh, just one last thing.
Good. Give me another point. What do you got?
I think I'm going to cry when Ezra meets Jason.
Oh, my Lord. Yes.
I just thought of that because you were talking about the lines. The lines, the master apprentice lines. And I was like,
he doesn't know. And this Ezra, by the way, seems so calm.
Yeah.
He seems so at peace with his decisions and what has happened. And he just seems to be trusting in the Force. And he seems to have let a lot of things go and really, 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 really grew up. And it's because of his master. It's because of his family and the support that he had around him and all those different things. And I feel like Ahsoka needed what she needed to get to this point. She needed that moment with her master in the previous episode to kind of get where Ezra's at.
Right.
To find her zen and be ready to help train Sabine and be there for her, because Ezra's there. It feels like he's done his duty for the galaxy. And yeah. Now we see it coming back, like Baylan said, like Thrawn's on his way marching back. So he's still going to have a role to play. And I think you're right, though. I think he's going to meet Jason, and yes. It's going to make me absolutely bawl my eyes out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's okay. I would love to cry at Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I was so happy, though. And I think Thrawn looks great. All of it. Every line. The voice. All of it. Just absolutely.
He nailed it.
Phenomenal. I mean, it's so good. And the fact that he's actually the voice actor is also, I think, you know, kind of amazing.
It's perfect. Yes.
Yeah. So that's Lars Mikkelsen, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw him at Star Wars Celebration, and I just think it's huge. It's huge. So, okay. All right. Anything else? I think we're just pumped.
We are.
Now we have to
get pumped at the same time.
Yeah. Now we have to go to bed. Now we have to get ready for conferences tomorrow. But we love you guys. Thank you guys so much. You guys are wonderful. We appreciate you guys tuning in here to Star Wars Hangout. You're great. And I hope to hear from you guys between now and Saturday. Let me know if you want to be on the show and want to pop in the StreamYard there. So, all right. Thanks so much. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.